Amen. 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 Would you turn with me to John, please? Let me get my John 3. And let's read verse 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And in John 13 in the Phillips, it says, now I'm giving you a new command, love one another. That's simple enough, all right? Love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you must love one another. This is how all men will know that you are my disciples, because you have such love for one another. And as you've heard me say often, that's the only way people are going to know. They're going to watch what we do. They're going to listen to what we say to one another. And if we can't treat one another in love, they're not going to hear anything we have to say. Amen. Are we word people? Is this a word church? What does that mean? We study the word, we follow the word. Okay. I mean, have we actually sat down and thought, you know, why the word is important? You know, do we really digest the purpose of the word? Because my question, what I had to ask myself was, if I understand and I've digested the purpose of the word, how come I don't always do it? Has everybody here always lived up to your purpose? Why? If we've studied the word and we read the word, well, why aren't we doing the word? See, we what happens is, at least in my case, we make it more complicated than it really is. We spend too much time thinking about what it means instead of doing what it says. Because if we sometimes, I never understood why I'd go to the gym, we'd have practice, and the coach would make us run these suicide drills. All right? It didn't make any sense to me. I did them because, you know, I wanted to stay on the team. So I did them. But then when games started happening, and I'd be sprinting down court, and there'd be a turnover, I'd have to stop and run back the other way just as fast, I was like, oh, okay. That's why. I was sharing with a Shula once. I went to one of his games, and they come out and they do this little three, you probably remember, Ken, they do that little three-man weave during warm-up. And they think it's just a warm-up drill because the coach never explained to them the purpose of that technique. So Shula stole the ball, and I'm like, yes. He proceeded to just dribble right down the middle of the court. Those that know, they're saying, oh, no, what you're supposed to do, you kick it out to the corner, they come to the middle, you run behind this way, go down the sideline, just like you do in your practice before the game. But because they were never taught how it all related, they didn't see that situation occur when the game started. And what happens with us sometimes is a situation will arise and we don't see where the word applies. Because we're caught up in that moment, in that situation. And, you know, I mean, your adrenaline could be pumping, whatever's going on, but we don't see where the word applies. And we have to be more mindful to change that because of the times that we're in and because of the expectation that God has on us. We need to always see the purpose of the word in things that we do. I mean, during praise and worship, we sang that song, had the chorus, "Mold me to what you to what you want me to be." Well, look at Genesis 1, because I think he already did. I'm going to share this in the Message Bible. Starting with the Message Bible starts with verse 26. God spoke, "Let us make human beings in our image. Make them reflecting our nature." See, he didn't say make them to reflect our nature. Make them reflecting our nature. That means something different. See, right now, if we turn off the lights, it'd be dark. In order to get light, we'd have to turn them on. But if the lights were always on, you wouldn't have to do anything. We were made reflecting God's nature. So no matter what we do, his nature should always be seen in us because we were made with it reflecting. The problem is that we do things, it doesn't stop reflecting. We do things sometimes to cover it up so that no one sees it. He said, make them reflecting our nature. And he tells us why. So they can be responsible. We have to reflect God's nature to be responsible. That for what? For the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle, and yes, earth itself. And every animal that moves on the face of the earth. God created them. God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. That's how he made us. Would you go quickly to John 1? I want to show you something here. Because I'm finding out often it's how you look at something. I'm going to read the first five verses in the Amplified Bible. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. Right. What does your translation say? The Word was with God and the Word was God. Okay? So looking at those at that scripture, you can conclude that we were made in the image and likeness of the Word. Think about that. We were made in the image and likeness of the Word. Well, let's see some things about the Word. Going back to John, verse 2, he was present originally with God. All things were made and came into existence through him, and without him was not even one thing made that has come into being. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shines on in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it, put it out, or absorbed it, or appropriated it, and is unreceptive to a darkness, is unreceptive to light. And the Word, Christ, became flesh, human, incarnate, and tabernacled, fixed his tent of flesh, lived a while among us, and we actually saw his glory. His honor, his majesty, such glory as an only begotten son receives from his father, full of grace, favor, loving kindness, and truth. So when you look at those, and you look at the purpose this shows, the characteristics it shows of the Word, it lets us know that we should always be with God. Always. That we are catalysts of change. We were given the ability to bring things into existence, just like the Word. We were also made to be light, light that's never overpowered by darkness. You think about that. Never. I mean, if we allow ourselves to get to the point where we feel overwhelmed about any situation, we've allowed ourselves to become overwhelmed by darkness. We have to understand, wait a minute, I'm light. and the darkness doesn't understand me, not the other way around. We're supposed to live among the people with the glory of God radiating from us and with his grace, favor, and loving kindness oozing out of us because we were made in his image. And all of those are qualities of his image based on the word. And that's just basic stuff. That's what got me excited. Being made in the image and likeness of God, in the likeness of the word, that's just basic. Mark Hinkins wrote, I didn't bring the book because I just didn't want to carry all those things up. He wrote, there is a radical change in Christ. Or you could say there's a radical change in the word. Everything is changed. There is nothing left of what you used to be. Nothing. I got a problem with that. Because too often, the old me tries to come up. So I got to work harder to get rid of every single part of who I used to be. You know, the problem is you remember things. And sometimes before you catch it, your brain has already correlated something and you said, familiar, familiar, familiar. This is what you need, and you want to get into that mode. And you have to say to yourself, I'm not that person anymore. See, when we understand what our purpose is as word people, we'll make an effort to do that because it's critical to who we are and how we are received by people. Think about this. If we were really understood word people, we would endure some of the things it talks about in Isaiah 53. We'd be wounded for transgressions. We'd be bruised for iniquities. And whatever was necessary to have peace, we would do. We would do. Why? Because it's who we are, and we understand our purpose. We'd have no issues with giving of ourselves on behalf of someone else, and we wouldn't expect a thing in return. You'd say, well, why would you do that? It's who I am. That's why. Because it's just who I am. And since I am the Word made flesh, this is what I do. These are characteristics of the Word. See, the Word made flesh means we're a new creature in Christ Jesus. We're new. And the purpose is redemption. For who? For everybody. Doesn't matter what they've done. We're going to do what's necessary so that God can work to bring about redemption. Remember I shared with you what Mark Hinkins wrote, everything has changed, there's nothing left of what used to be you? Well, let me show you how that relates to purpose. And I was surprised because Deacon Lorraine read both the scriptures, so I could just stand here and say what she said and move on. She read them in the same translations. Look at Hebrews 4:12. Okay. Only I'm going to read them in a few more than just King James and Amplified. Reads, for the word of God is quick. You know what quick means? Yep. It means alive. It means it's not lifeless, it's active, it means it's blessed, and it means it's of moral character. Well, you look in Strong's Concordance, you'll see all of those definitions. So it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. But read them in the Amplified, and I'm going to stop along the way on these translations so you'll understand all of it. For the word of God speaks, for the word that God speaks is alive, full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. The purpose of the word is to make us active, operative, energizing, and effective. That's the purpose. That's who we were created to be. Everyone say active, operative, energizing, and effective. Tell your neighbor, they're describing me. Okay. All right. It says, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit. That means the word will let you know when you're getting in the flesh. Okay. And if we get into the flesh, we've ignored the word. Well, think about it. The Holy Ghost's job is to guide us into all truth. When we get in the flesh, we need to know. Because when we get into the flesh, we're about to live a lie. And the Holy Ghost is going to say, flesh alert, flesh alert. Okay. And but the word will do it. It'll go right at that point where you're about to miss it. That sword is like, no, it stops right here. We bridge it. We stitch it back together, you know, for any number of reasons. And we have to understand that the purpose of the word is to do that, to expose that, to let us know. It says, and of joints and marrow, for the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. That's why, folks, I don't know if it's ever happened to you, but it's happened to me more times than I like to think about. But I'll be sitting down thinking about something or someone, and thoughts will come in about that person. And something will rise up in me, actually the word rise up in me and says, you don't need to say that about that person. You don't need to think about that. Didn't I say, would tell you where to set your thoughts? I'm like, yep, you did. I repent. Then I say, but you, he said, but what? nothing, forget it. Because if I say anything, you're going to pull the God card, and then I'm going to lose anyway. So, right. Listen to the expanded Bible. For God's word is alive and working active, powerful, effective, and is sharper than a double-edged sword. Listen to this. It cuts all the way into us where the soul and the spirit are joined. To the center of our joints and bones, penetrates until it even divides soul and spirit, joints and marrow. So it will penetrate and it will say, spirit over here, soul down here. So it's going to do that. It's going to come in and it's going to see that there's something out of balance, and it's going to put it back in balance. And we have to allow it to happen. It says it penetrates until it divides even soul and spirit. That means it doesn't start and stop. It's going to keep going until it gets to the root of the issue. That's what the word does. It judges, discerns the thoughts, ideas, and feelings, attitudes, intentions in our heart. So, the word knows what you really mean. It does. So you can snow people, but not God. You can't snow the word knows. The word knows about our attitudes and our feelings. The word knows every inch of our hearts. Because he will take the word, it comes in as that sword, and it looks at every section. The Message Bible says, God means what he says. What he says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense. Means whether you believe it or you're putting up a front, the word's going to cut through all of that. Right? Laying us open. Listen to this. I love this part. The word lays us open. It's like we're filleted. Okay. to, it lays us open to listen and to obey. See, when it lays us open, it exposes our spirits. And our spirit responds to God. And so it cuts everything away that's blocking that transmission from spirit to God. And the thought here is, if your spirit is receiving from God, you'll obey. But if we don't get in the Word, then the Word can't do what it's there to do, and we find ourselves missing it. You understand? Okay. It says that, then the Message Bible goes on to say, nothing and no one is impervious to God's Word. Impervious means incapable of being influenced, persuaded, or affected. So it says, nothing and no one is incapable of being influenced, persuaded, or affected by God's Word. And that's who we are. When we receive Jesus Christ, we're the Word made flesh. And nothing or no one is incapable of being influenced, persuaded, or affected by us. But there is a condition. There is a, not condition, a prerequisite. We have to go back to having God's image reflecting out of us. When it's reflecting out of us and they see us loving one another, they will know we are from God. So again, the purpose of the Word is to affect the change. It's to influence, persuade, or affect, and we can't get away from it. That's who we are, folks. Peter was radically changed. First of all, he was no longer afraid of anything. And we all know how he used to be afraid. Okay. He understood that he possessed the Word. And he was going to influence and persuade and affect the people. And he didn't care what he had to go through to do it. If you look in Acts 2, verse 32, I'm just going to read, not reading all the way down, I'm going to skim down. Verse 32, Peter's talking to the people in public, talking to a mass of people, said, this Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. He didn't have any problems anymore identifying with Christ. Okay, he's gotten over, no, I don't know him. Okay. Verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. Why? Because no one is impervious to the Word. So when they heard the Word, they were influenced. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They're like, we believe you. This thing you're saying is affecting us. What do we do next? They said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Why? He let the word do what the word was supposed to do. He let the word divide him between spirit and flesh. And he was no longer concerned about the flesh. His spirit said, these people need to get saved. And because his spirit was laid open, he had that connection going with God, and he heard every word God said to say to the people. He said it, 3,000 people got saved. 3,000. Then soon after that, okay, in Acts 4, again, he spake to the people. The folks were upset because he, I mean, can you imagine somebody being so radical, being, not radical, being such a bad person that they actually help somebody and the people get mad about it. Helped a man that was impotent from birth. And it says in the beginning in verse 1, and as they spake up unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. So they were arrested. But it didn't stop the effect of the word that they spoke. It says, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. How many of you are willing to go to jail to get 5,000 people saved? I mean, you need to think about that. During those times, you didn't, just go to jail. They didn't have game rooms and computer centers and exercise rooms and all that stuff they have today. Oh, no. You were put in stocks. First of all, you were roughed up on the way. You were roughed up when you got there. You were roughed up as they were putting your feet in stocks or chain or whatever they do. And you even roughed up on your way to be dismissed. I mean, then lest you forget, take this one. But the thing about it is, they knew it. But what was important to them was that the gospel be spread. And they had no other option other than to rely on the word. The word needs to be our only option. We rely on too many other things, and we don't rely enough on the word. 2 Timothy 2. I'm almost done. Seriously, I'm almost done. All right. We need to understand about the word. Did I tell you the scripture? 2 Timothy 3. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy 3. Let the word get an divide. Don't get upset with me now. No. Verse 16, I'm in the Amplified Bible. Every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration, and it is profitable for instruction. It means you don't know what to do. Go to the word. You will get instruction. For reproof, that means for correction. Don't run from the word because you know you're wrong. Run to the word and find out how to correct it. And conviction of sins. The word will let you know, as we said earlier, when that two-edged sword comes in and divides you right down, I'll use it where I like the word, fillets us, right down where you got the flesh on this side and the spirit on that side, it lets you know there's too much flesh here. You got to get rid of this. It lets us know that. If we listen to it, we'll do well. If we don't, we're going to have bumps along the way. Some of us will have testimonies that we were not created to have. I know I've shared this before, but I don't believe God ever intended anybody to have a testimony that, they were born, they resisted Christ all their life, they got strung out on drugs, been arrested 67 times, killed 3 people, but then they met one person who turned them and they found Jesus, and now they're pastoring a church. I mean, that's a great story, but God didn't intend for that person to have to go through all of that. He didn't need them to go through all those changes to get them in the pulpit. But if the person doesn't let the word come in and divide, fillet, those things can happen and do happen. And there needs to be, as we talked about Sunday, there needs to be examples of people whose lives demonstrate you don't have to go that way. And it doesn't have to be anything radical. You're just walking along. Like it says in Romans, your everyday eating, sleeping, drinking, going to work life. You put that, lay that out as an altar, and people will come to you. They're going to ask, why are you so calm in all of this? I gotta tell you this story. Someone came to me Sunday, came through the line, and said, "Pastor Greg, I have to tell you something." Okay. "Remember you said that we should go up to a police officer and tell them that we appreciate them and we're praying for them?" I said, "Yes." "Well, I was out shopping and I saw a police officer." He said, "There were some protests going on, but the protests weren't that bad. And I had all these bags of things, and I said, I'm not going up to this police officer and saying anything to him." And I proceeded to go down a different street. I got halfway down the street, and the protests stopped being peaceful. And folks start throwing bags around. They grabbed my bags and were throwing my bags all over the place. I had to run and grab my bags up. Said, if I had gone over to that police officer, I wouldn't have been there when all that happened. Okay. See? That wasn't my idea to say that to you. All right? The word said, ask the people to do this. So I did. So I did. He had them filleted and was letting them know. But, it wasn't malicious. Like, I got all these bags. I want to get home. And we can never be too busy or too preoccupied to follow the leading we get from the word. We don't know what will happen. Okay. In the Amplified Bible, I don't think I read that one. Yeah, I did read that one. The Message Bible, that's where I was going. Oh, no, I didn't finish the Amplified. Where did I stop? I'll just read the whole thing over again. Every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration, and profitable for instruction, for reproof, and conviction of sin, for correction of error, and discipline and obedience, and for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will, in thought, purpose, and action. We have to allow God's word to conform us to God's will in every aspect of our lives. It should control what we think, how we act, what we do. It should control everything. And we talk, this is an age we live in where folks always talk about someone being too controlling. I like being controlled by God. It works out well for me. It's when I allow myself to be controlled by me that I get into trouble. The Message Bible. Every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another. Showing us truth, exposing our rebellion. See, when we allow the word to get in there and fillet, it lets us know when we're rebelling. Because some of the things we do, we don't see them as rebelling. I mean, if God says, go on and bless this police officer by saying this to them, and we don't do it, we're rebelling. We need to understand, we don't count those things as rebellion, but they are. The word will expose that. Correcting our mistakes. Lord, I'm glad it does that. Because he's come in handy with me the last couple of months with correcting our mistakes. Training us to live God's way. Through the word, I like this. Through the word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks God has for us. How many of you want to be put together and shaped and ready for the work God has for you to do? You have to let the word get in you and do what it's designed to do. Fillet you right down so there's a clear separation or delineation from what's flesh and what's spirit. Because only then can you make a choice to just stay in the spirit. If there's nothing to let you know you're in the flesh, How are you going to know? And you're going to keep going on thinking that you're right. Remember, the scripture says each man is right in his own eyes. So if something, some of us, you know, need to put glasses on because our vision's not clear and we don't see everything that we should see. So we do what we need to do to correct our vision. Well, spiritually, it's the same thing. We have to let the word come in so it corrects our spiritual vision and we can see clearly. But it doesn't just correct your vision. It also soups up your spiritual hearing. Every time I stand in front of you, either as a group or I'm talking to you individually, I've learned how to hear what you're saying and hear how God wants me to respond to it. And it's something that I had to be mindful of. So it's like this ear is hearing you, and this one, so to speak, is hearing God. And I have to do, and the way I have to do that is I can't allow myself to get so wrapped up in what you're saying that I just become emotional about what you're saying and I don't hear God's answer. But it's something that I've had to work at. And now it's almost like it comes automatically. That's why sometimes you will hear me start to say something and I stop and say something else. It's not that I missed where I was. God said, no, I don't want you to say that. I want you to say this now. And I just shift with it. Living a life like that is, I'm telling you, it's very exciting. How many of you are in Christ? So everything has changed. And there's nothing left of what used to be you. You are now a new creature. You are now a light being. Everything that they said about Jesus, they should be saying about you and me. Because he was put here, as Pastor Clinton taught a lesson once, called a prototype. Jesus was put here as a prototype as to who we would become when we allowed ourselves to be in Christ and let the word have free reign in us. It's, you know, it's, I'm going to say this and I'm going to quit. When Pastor Sarah went in for the open heart surgery, there was some prepping that she had to do first. There were some things that she had to abstain from because there were things that they didn't want in her. And then the surgeon opened her chest, drilled through the bone, pulled it apart, just laid it right out there, and said, this valve is blocked. This artery is blocked. But it's not blocked just here where we thought. It's also blocked over here. Because they had her open, they were able to see clearly what was not right with her body, and they were able to correct it. If they didn't open her up, they wouldn't have seen those two blockages because all of the other scans only showed the one. We have to allow God's word to just open us up. And anything that it finds that's not right, I mean, the surgeons didn't say, well, we'll wait, put it back together. We'll wait till she comes through again and then ask her if it's okay to fix it. No. She had to submit to them. And they put her out. They put her to sleep. And she had signed a consent form previously where if they find something else, they take care of it. We have to give God that same type of free reign. Just like this, when we if he finds anything that shouldn't be, take it out. Okay? Take it out. I don't want it. You don't need my permission. Just take it out. I'm a word person. So whatever's in me that doesn't associate with me being a word person has to go. Amen? I'm done. Look at that. I got 30 seconds left on my clock. Father, we thank you. We give you all glory, honor, and praise, as we said earlier. Thank you, Lord, for showing us how we are to conduct ourselves as word people, as a word church, and show us just what we have to do to be in position, Lord, for the word to come into us, for that two-edged sword to flay us and let us know what's flesh and what's spirit, so that we will make a choice to always go with the spirit and never go with the flesh. We thank you, Lord, that as folks meditate on what was shared tonight, that their understanding will increase and they will start realizing situations where it's too much flesh, not enough spirit, and make the necessary corrections. We believe every word that you've spoken concerning this ministry. And we know in order to achieve it, we have to truly become people of the word, doing only those things that you have instructed us to do the way you have instructed us to do them. Father, we thank you for keeping us whole, keeping us healthy, encouraging us to love, encouraging us to forgive, encouraging us, reminding us that when you made us, we were made reflecting your glory, reflecting the light. So there's nothing really for us to turn on. We just have to make sure it's not covered. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.